Rebecca Asher Walsh is a writer who specializes in celebrity and lifestyle coverage. And she has a soft spot for four-legged stars. In addition to sharing stories of amazing animals and volunteering at a shelter in Manhattan, she is the founding director of Deja Foundation, an organization devoted to raising funds for the care of rescue dogs. Today, we'll speak with Rebecca about her new book, Devoted, 38 Extraordinary Tales of Love, Loyalty, and Life with Dogs. Welcome, Rebecca, and thanks for joining us on the Book Report.
Thank you so much for having me.
Devoted is a collection of 38 tales of love, loyalty, and life with dogs. How did you choose the stories to be included?
I chose the stories because I wanted a wonderful range of stories that would appeal to every reader. So I wanted to have some dogs representing the life-saving moments that are very, very dramatic. And then there are other stories that are less dramatic and about a lifetime of loyalty. And, of course, different breeds, since everybody has their own favorites.
Right. You begin the book by writing, quote, "A dog's greatest legacy is the ability to restore our faith in the existence of unconditional love." And then you continue about your own dogs. "I rescued them, but they rescued me in return." I love that.
Oh, thank you so much. I think anybody who has rescued a dog will say something similar, because it's one of those acts where you feel so good for doing something good. And then you turn around and realize that this dog is literally living for you and just wants to be near you. And all of those things that you thought might be overwhelming about the responsibility of having a dog, if you will allow them to sit on your lap or curl up on the floor and you'll take them for a walk a few times a day and feed them dinner, that's it. That's all they need. And they will greet you like you are the best person in the world every time you walk in the door.
That's right. You know, I was so inspired by the Companions for Heroes. Tell us about that.
It is the most inspiring story that continues to inspire me long after I reported it. This extraordinary man who works for Homeland Security now, named David Sharp, came back from the war with very, very bad post-traumatic stress syndrome and adopted a pit bull named Cheyenne. And he was suicidal one day shortly after getting her and sat down on the bed with a fully loaded gun and put it in his mouth. And Cheyenne gently just moved the gun away from his mouth and nestled up in his lap and looked up at him and forced him to make eye contact. And he looked down at that dog and realized that he had to take care of her and that he couldn't go anywhere. And he never looked back. And not only has he not looked back, he has started this extraordinary organization where he pairs vets returning with PTSD with shelter dogs. And the goal is, because the rates of suicide are escalating unforgivably for returning vets, and in addition, we have as many as 9,000 dogs killed daily in this country because of a lack of space, his organization, Companions for Heroes, matches these men and women with a shelter dog. The men and women pick their own shelter dog, but they provide vet care for the first year, and they provide unlimited training on the phone. And when I asked him about why the training on the phone rather than going to the people and showing them, he said, because it gives them more control and power, and they'll call and say, "You can't believe it. I just taught my dog how to sit." And then they say, "Well, what else can you do?" And they start taking control of their lives, and they say, "Well, maybe I can go back to school now." And they become more socialized because they're taking their dogs for walks and people are approaching them and talking to them. So it really is this miraculous story of how one life can be changed by one dog, and then hundreds of lives are changed after that.
Right. And you list some statistics in the book. 18 veterans kill themselves each day in the United States, and every 8 seconds a shelter animal is euthanized.
Right.
Yeah.
And what I love about David Sharp's story so much, and I think it's a lesson we could all learn in the world, or most of us can learn in the world, is that I think we hear numbers like these, whatever they might be about, and we get overwhelmed, and we say, "There's nothing I can do. It's too much. Anything I do would be a drop in the bucket." And instead, what somebody like David Sharp teaches us, whether it's about any issue you pick, is we all have something we can do to be of help. And
right.
It can be a very small thing, but we all have time to send our used blankets to a shelter so a dog or two will sleep better that night because it will have bedding. There are things that we can do to make the world a little better in less than 10 seconds.
Well, another story in the book really kind of gobsmacked me. Talk about the dog who could sniff cancer.
This is the most amazing thing. I was very moved by all the emotional stories, but this one was so incredible. And the reason this story was so incredible, the dog who can sniff cancer, is this was one of three dogs I spoke to for this book that did exactly this. And here's how this works. And they're actually doing studies in Emory in Atlanta about this, because dogs have extraordinarily acute sense of smell, which is why a shelter environment can be very difficult for them because of all the smells and odors. So they don't have great eyesight, but they have an incredible sense of smell. And these three women, but in particular this one woman in the book, the dog kept poking her in the breast, and she had just returned from a normal mammogram. So she called her doctor. She said, "I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but my dog is not, this doesn't make any sense. This isn't what my dog is like." So he said, "Come in for another mammogram." She went in for another mammogram, and mammogram came back normal. Dog wouldn't stop, and she said, she kept pushing the dog away from her breast, but it kept coming back, and it was always poking at the same spot. So she called the doctor back, and she said, "I know I'm going to sound crazy, but I really think I need something else." And she went in for an ultrasound, and they found an incredibly aggressive form of cancer that is not picked up on mammograms that would have killed her very, very shortly. She schedules her surgery, and then the dog starts going under her armpit. So at that point, she doesn't think that much of it because she's scheduled for surgery. It's all going to be fine. When she gets into the OR, before she's anesthetized, she says to the doctor and the nurse, "For what it's worth, this extraordinary dog keeps bonking me right here." So they circled it with a red pen. When they did the surgery, they found that that was the single lymph node that the cancer had traveled to. All the other lymph nodes were clear, and they were able to take it out. And it was to the point of where exactly that lymph node was.
All right. You have to tell our listeners about the story of Willow, the dog who can read.
I love Willow. Willow is hilarious. Willow's owner is also a dog walker and dog trainer, and she was bored one day and made a bet with a friend that whoever won this bet would take the other person on vacation. She said, "I bet I can teach my dog to read." So she taught Willow to read about four signs, and so she can read sit or bark. She can read a sign that has her rolling over, and it is an extraordinary party trick. It is worth pointing out, as the owner said, it's pattern recognition. So it's looking at shapes that the dog can distinguish, and she was trained by using really positive reinforcement. So every time she would get one, she would get lots and lots and lots and lots of treats. That said, the dog is brilliant. It's one of those, I kept looking down at my dogs when I was interviewing her, thinking, "Get on with it, guys." I mean, they just are lying around being dogs. And Willow is one of those dogs who she can say, "Please get me a pen from the other room," and the dog will go and get a pen from the other room. So she's working with something else there that most of us don't have.
Right. Oh, well, tell us about the Deja Foundation.
The Deja Foundation came about because I'm a volunteer at a high kill shelter here, and several other volunteers and I became very, very discouraged at the high rate of euthanasia, and there are wonderful rescues pulling these dogs off the youth list, but they're very overburdened, and they don't have a lot of money, and many of the dogs are killed because they have kennel cough, which is very contagious. Most dogs get it within 3 days of arriving, and it's just a bad cold, but it is a reason to kill them, and it's cured with 10 days of antibiotics. So we began Deja Foundation with the intent of, we offer to pay the vet bills and the training costs for rescues, pulling dogs off of the youth list. And what this does is, on one hand, it encourages rescues to continue to pull dogs, because a wonderfully adoptable dog that happens to have pneumonia, they might not have been able to pay the vet bills before, but now we promise them that we will go ahead and pay them, so please pull the dog. And then by providing training costs, you're promoting sustainable adoption.
What's the website where people can find out more about it?
You can go to DejaFoundation.org, and we are also on Facebook at Deja Foundation.
Rebecca, I've so enjoyed speaking with you. Before we part, any final thoughts?
I would really encourage people to go check out their shelter and do what they can to do for their shelter during Adopt-A-Shelter Month. It's a great time to just go check out what's in your neighborhood and bring a box of biscuits and feel good about it.
Okay. Well, Rebecca, I love the book. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All righty. Bye.